With me is Al Bergstein. Al Bergstein is a friend from, well, I guess just from here, Al. I don't think we ever would have met had it not been for KPTZ.
Yeah.
A long time ago at this point. Well known because he produced a program of Shoro, another program which, by the way, was wonderful music I now miss because Al moved on just like Chris Bricker did to other things. What was the name of that show?
Oh, boy. That was is music to drink coffee to.
That is exactly right, but I always drink tea instead. On Wednesday, you penned an op-ed piece in the Port Townsend Leader about the transfer of ownership of Protection Island from the nation, the United States, to the nation, Jamestown Tsklam Tribe. Mm-hmm. What's the reaction been? Have you had a reaction?
Not much yet. I've had a few people comment on it. And to be clear, this is a proposed transfer. There is nothing absolutely going on right now. Is this on? The mic on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I saw you playing around with the knobs there. I didn't know what
I
was happening.
You know, in my absence.
Any rate, it's really right now a proposal that the Jamestown have put forward to transfer, to put into what they'd like to see as I read their act, the draft of their act that they're asking for. And it's also a whole page of it is in the Peninsula Daily News today, a full page ad by them, is to basically...
By them is Jamestown.
Yeah, is to basically take the island and put it into a trust under the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, for them for, I believe it's a period of 5 years or so, and then after those 5 or 10 years, and after those years, it would be then transferred directly into and made part of their reservation. So they would essentially take total ownership of the island at that point from the United States government, and it would be taken out of the National Wildlife Refuge System at that point. And at this point, the thing that I think that is concerning to me is the fact that there's no real specificity about in their proposal about exactly what they would do with the island once they have ownership of it.
So, Al, could I back us up a little bit?
Oh,
we have listeners all around the world.
Yes.
And all around Washington. And even listeners right here in Jefferson County.
Sure.
Who may not know, one, where Protection Island is and what it's like. Can you describe it, locate it, and describe it?
Yeah. Protection Island is a small island that's just off of the coast here in the Strait of Juan de Fuca. It's sort of in front of the opening to Discovery Bay there. And the and that's why it was called Protection Island, named that by Vancouver when he came through on his ship and anchored in Discovery Bay there. He named it Protection Island. I'm sure the Native Americans had a name for it before that, but no one knows. At least they probably do have that on their tribal rolls somewhere. But at any rate, it ended up being called Protection Island, and it's a pretty barren place. And so up until, to move quickly into sort of the modern era, a woman named Zella Schultz back in the late 50s, early 60s, who was a birder here in Jefferson County, discovered that there was a very unique thing about Protection Island, and that was that it was a gigantic breeding nesting place for birds, and some of them very rare. For example, most people would not know, and I didn't know this at first, that Protection Island is the breeding place for about 70% or more of the gulls in Puget Sound. That's where gulls from all over Puget Sound come to breed. And also there's rare birds like rhinoceros auklets. There used to be tufted puffins. I understand there may still be a pair there, but there used to be much when I first moved here or first came to Protection Island in about 1980. There was still quite a bit of tufted puffins there, and most of them are gone now, and they live, most of them remaining ones are up in Alaska. Anyhow, so Zella discovered this and eventually got a person involved named Eleanor Stops, who was also a birder who moved here. And the two of them worked all through the 70s on getting it named as a National Wildlife Refuge. They rallied thousands of people in Seattle with the Seattle Audubon Society. 5,000 people, members of that, came to their to work on it. There was a woman named Lorna Smith, who is now named Lorna Smith, who was then named Lorna Campion. Lorna Smith is the is a very well-known environmentalist here in the county. And she was their liaison between Seattle Audubon and Eleanor Stops and Zella. And so I was a working photographer in Seattle then in 1980. And they basically, I volunteered with Audubon and came up here and photographed the island back then and got to know Eleanor and at that point and Lorna. And so in 1982, they finally got Senator Magnuson and all the delegation, the entire delegation of Washington State signed on, including the then Republican Governor Spellman, I believe it was, and Republicans all across this state all signed on to get that bill passed in both in Congress. And it was passed and it was added to the National Wildlife Refuge System. It was a huge undertaking. It took thousands, tens of thousands of hours to get this done. And so so that's led up to that management by the federal government of the island to protect it against any type of development. And the basic thing that was trying to protect it against was that it had been turned into a development back before it was a National Wildlife Refuge. There was 800 lots that were subdivided on it, and people like Marty Bluewater already was living there, built a house there, for example. So the state, the feds basically bought out the lots. They were never really going to have a lot of development there because once they sold these lots, they found out, oh, there's no water there. So they were going to have to barge the water in. So most of the people there were fine with selling their lots to the government, not as happy as they could be, but they did it. The government bought them all out. Marty was allowed to stay there until the end of his life, so he lives out his life there.
And what year was this again?
This is 82.
So what has happened on Protection Island between 1982 and, you know, 3 months ago?
Yeah. So basically, we've had the National Fish and Wildlife Service essentially manages it. And so they keep all people off. You cannot go on the island. An average person cannot land their boat there. You have to come in with special permission. The breeding ground and the whole island is off limits. And so Marty comes and goes on his boat and is allowed to have a few guests of his own. But by and large, nobody gets to go over and land on Protection Island other than scientists.
Basically, what there has been is pretty much status quo. And yeah, if nothing happened with respect to this proposed transfer, it would continue on as it's been.
Pretty much so, yeah. And so the tribe has been, apparently, from what I understand, the tribe has been hired to do certain tasks over there, invasive species removal and so forth, like, I guess, Scotch broom or whatever.
I would imagine it's there like everywhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there is some things that the tribe has been hired to do over there, as I understand it. And also, people may be unaware that the tribe is taking over management of Dungeness Spit, which is a whole different thing. Okay, that's a whole another issue. But Dungeness Spit Wildlife Refuge is being put into this whole plan so that if this goes through and if the government approves it, that they will get Dungeness Spit as well as Protection Island, and it will eventually become part of their reservation.
But these are separate proposals.
No, it's actually part of their working proposal. It's called the Jamestown-Sklallam Land Transfer Act of 2026. It's a draft that I have here, which we're not going to get into, but there is a working draft that basically specifies both Dungeness Spit and Protection Island to be transferred to the tribe.
And we know what their intentions are with respect to Dungeness. It's aquaculture.
Yes.
But we don't have a clue, or at least I don't have a clue from what I've read, which is far less than what you've read, about what their plans would be for Protection Island.
Yeah, it's very vague. And so, you
very,
know.
Very big?
Vague.
Vague. Uh-huh.
Yes,
okay.
It's a very vague notion of conservation is really the byword by which they put into this, that they will maintain it for conservation. That really concerns me because if this act would go through, there is no specific information that would give us a secure feeling about the fact that this would be kept as a protected refuge for birds, for these bird populations that are extremely rare bird populations, and that things there's a something worth understanding. These birds are seabirds primarily. They eat off fish, and a lot of the fish that they eat are small fish that are sand lance and herring and other small fish that are actually also under endangered. Sort of they're not endangered technically, but their numbers are dropping dramatically throughout the entire Puget Sound area and Salish Sea in general.
So let's make sure that we know that. I believe this is true, that you're part of a group that has been challenging the transfer with respect to Dungeness Spit.
I'm not part of any group. I don't belong to any group. I'm not a member of any group like that. I don't belong to Audubon.
Okay, so let's forget about the groups then. Yeah. You have been expressing concern, if not opposition,
yes,
to that. So
yes,
there is that at least. Does one follow from another? That is Protection Island from Dungeness.
Yeah, here's my concern that I've raised in my blog, and I think that others might have raised this as well. Initially, the aquaculture piece of this Dungeness Spit thing was a very, very tiny spot in the bay. By the time that the tribe has gotten to this point, they started out wanting 110,000 bags of oysters on the bottom. They reduced that down to a number of 80, the last I've seen, 80,000. 80,000 bags into the waters all over the bottom of Dungeness Bay. And that's where the small fish and other wildlife come out of in the environment. You know, that's where they're part of the environment, and burying that under oyster bags essentially forever, because they'll be running this farm forever, I'd assume, or for decades or whatever. That basically kills that layer and reduces the number of fish and other things that the birds might be feeding on that's in that water level. And so the reason why I'm concerned is that if they're definitely have made it clear that they want to turn Dungeness Bay, that area, into an aquaculture farm. They're trying to do that. It's in a court battle right now. But their waters, the shoreline around Protection Island is also that type of layer. And who knows whether there's aquaculture could be done on there, and my guess is it probably could be done around there.
But that is not part of the refuge. That is lands owned by the state of Washington.
Well, yes, it is, and yes, it is an interesting type of legal dilemma there, is that the island itself is the National Wildlife Refuge. The waters around it are technically still waters of Washington State and are managed by DNR, who approves or disapproves of aquaculture farms being made. And unfortunately, since 2000, when we put through a bill in this state to sort of give aquaculture a huge push because of the Chinese upflowing of buying aquaculture from us.
Oh, gooey ducks.
Gooey ducks in particular. I've never seen them really turn down an aquaculture farm. So I think that the likelihood of that the tribe went to the state at some future date and asked them to be able to either, you know, take gooey duck out of the water in mass quantities, you know, and the way that they do that is with an air pressure, and they blast that level and sort of blast all the sand to get down to the gooey ducks. And so that is a major destruction, temporarily at least, of that benthic layer.
But the transfer of the ownership all the time I've been talking to myself about this, I've said Indian Island. I just said it again.
Protection Island,
yes. I do know better. That is a separate matter, though. And for the state of Washington could grant these permit applications, which in fact have not been written yet,
right?
Whatever happened to Protection Island?
Yeah.
So we have Dungeness Bit as one matter. There seems to be a connection to Protection Island, and then matters regarding the state of Washington and surrounding waters. Lots to pay attention to.
Yeah.
But just about Protection Island.
Sure.
Okay. What could the tribe do to Protection Island, just the island itself, that would be concerning?
There was a
proposed development that failed for a lack of water. It would seem like it is not a developable place.
Yeah.
What's the concern?
Well, here's my major concern. Even if it is kept as a wildlife refuge, the tribe gets much of their funds for the environmental work that they have done, including Protection Island, over the decades. The wonderful work they've done, I am not anti-tribe. They've done Jimmy Come Lately Creek. They restored that. They've restored many things in the area. And so they've done some really great work. the issue that I have is, where do they get that money for it? Well, those that money comes from federal grants. And so if this whole idea is to get out of the management of national wildlife refuges, which the Trump administration and Project 2025 clearly spell out in one of their chapters that they want out of that, then where is the money going to come from in the future once we've bailed out, we, the American people, have bailed out of that and they don't want to fund those things anymore and the tribe is left holding this thing that they may or may not be able to afford to even manage on our behalf, on their behalf, right? So the other side of this coin that's really worth understanding that most people probably don't understand here is the tribe and the aquaculture industry are really sort of all one thing. The aquaculture industry and the tribe exists to help the tribal members.
You mean the tribe and their aquaculture industry?
Their aquaculture industry.
Not the industry generally.
Yeah, the tribe runs an aquaculture business and has for years. Kurt Grinnell, who I knew very well, he ran that and was selling gooey duck to China. And so, and that was great. They were making good money on that and so forth. And it was really tragic to have lost Kurt. But that tribal business is totally, the shareholders of that are the tribal members themselves, right? So it's a very opaque thing that's built for the tribe, and that's a separate sovereign nation. So in that sense of where, if, you know, the tribe has a net vested interest in doing as much aquaculture as they can where they can find it. That's part of, obviously, that seems to be part of what's going on in Dungeness Bay.
And I can see that. That pertains to Dungeness Bay. It may pertain to the state lands around Protection Island.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see how it pertains to the island itself.
Yeah, well, the island
from
itself.
From mean high water above, you know, above means way up the hillside on the bluff.
Well, there's no promises of any sort, really, to hang a hat on about what they may or may not do on that, whether they might decide to put some type of a tribal center out there, a visitor center, whatever it might be. There's no promises that they're going to leave it as it is, as a wildlife reserve, a refuge for the habitat of the birds, which is the critical piece that we fought so hard back in the 1970s and 80s to get that done.
And the only assurance in your mind that really gives you confidence is for Protection Island to stay in the hands of the federal government.
The mission of the National Wildlife Refuge System is to provide, administer a national network of lands and waters for the conservation, management, and where appropriate, restoration of the fish, wildlife, and plant resources in their habitats within the United States for the benefit of present and future generations of Americans. All of us. This exists for all of us. And I'm very concerned about this race to try to, you know, the tribe is saying that Representative Emily Randall is supporting this, and that today I also read that Maria Cantwell is supporting it. Well, people that I've talked to this week who are opposed to this have talked to those two representatives, people just this week, who said there's no such thing. They haven't heard about anything like this. They have no stance on it. So what's going on, right? I mean, there's the rush to judgment to get the county commissioners of both Clallam County and Jefferson County on board, which they've apparently already done. And there's no public input of any consequence being done on this massive issue of transferring over our refuges to a private commercial entity is really what it is. It's not about the tribe. Hey, I've produced two films for the tribe. I was paid by the tribe to do two films. I was a very close friend with the late tribal elder Marlon Holden, and I knew Kurt Grinnell very well. I've interviewed many, many tribal members as part of the films that I produced for them. I am not against the tribe. If the tribe wanted to take over Squim, or if it wanted to take over, you know, half of Jefferson County, well, go for it. I mean, that's a totally different thing than being asked.
I don't think you really mean that, but it doesn't matter. A little hyperbole doesn't hurt.
Sure.
Every now and then,
sure.
I guess.
I'm just saying that, you know, there's other places that wouldn't matter level, right? I mean, as opposed to something like our national wild. I mean, what next? I mean, Olympic National Park get handed over to some tribe or all the tribes or Mount Rainier? I mean, where does this end if we are going to go down this road?
So we have concern.
Yeah, we've got some concern.
well-stated concern.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? We have listeners tonight. We know, of course, we don't know how many, and mm-hmm. we don't know how awake they are, but you've probably awakened them some. So what can they do? I would suggest what they can do mm-hmm. is read your blog.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had some discussions before this discussion. Mm-hmm. And I think you've done a good job of stating your concern and probably getting people stirred up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But to follow up,
mm-hmm.
the one place, and probably the only place we know for sure, is your blog.
Well,
I mean, because you're running your blog all the time, and you're going to be updating it. Now, there may be information in the Peninsula Daily News, mm-hmm. or the Leader, or the Seattle Times, or the Guardian, for all I know.
Right.
But one way to keep up is your blog. How do people find your blog?
The blog is oleopen.com, the Olympic Peninsula Environmental News. I've been running that since 2007 here in the county. And also, what I would suggest is write some very simple statements of letters to our county commissioners and our elected officials from, you know, from Maria Cantwell's, the Senator Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray and Emily Randall on down to our local people and say, hey, you know, slow this process down. I mean, slow it down and give us some opportunity for input and feedback before we go racing down the road to do this thing that seems like there's people on both sides of the federal government and the tribe that really want to do this right now. And I think it's time to slow this process down and decide whether we even want it to happen.
If it happens, and there does seem to be a good bit of momentum in mm-hmm. its favor, and I will say parenthetically that my feelings about the national government these days are not as rosy as yours, I guess. If it does happen, cannot it be conditioned?
Well, believe me, I don't have rosy feelings about the federal government right now. But certainly, I mean, I assume that all legalese, having read many, many legal documents about the founding of Protection Island that are in the congressional record that I managed to get through the Suzilla libraries, I mean, there's lots of conditions you can put place on it. We had conditions that was in the act that let Marty Blue Water stay on the island till he dies. I mean, and live in his house till he dies. It's interesting. Marty, actually, I read the letter that Marty sent to the Congress back then. And so it was just an interesting, funny letter in which he said, I recognize this is probably going to happen. I just wish that you'd hope that you would allow me to live here for the rest of my life. And they did. They put conditions in. So worst case scenario in my mind, if we go through with this thing, there are conditions. I don't know how we would enforce them. You know, when something becomes a tribal sovereignty.
Well, you know what?
You know,
I don't know how we enforce anything against the federal government nowadays either.
Well, times change. You know, who knows what will happen? You know, there's a song that you could be playing called Who Knows What Tomorrow Will Bring, right? And we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. A peaceful calm, an atomic bomb, we don't know, right? That's how the lyrics go.
So write letters to Congress.
Yeah.
In support or in opposition.
Sure, whatever.
And in support with conditions.
Sure.
And I'm used to permit applications when I was on the Shoreline Commission and the Planning Commission. That was one of the things that we did.
Mm-hmm.
You accepted a project but said these conditions have to be fulfilled. So that's one possibility. Possibilities are probably without limit, but I would say within reasonable limit. So write to Congress. Keep in touch with you. Read
sure.
the local newspapers, and I suppose look at the Jamestown Slalom website, which is well-constructed and does not seem to have any information about this yet. But
they just took out a full-page ad today in the Peninsula Daily News.
Which I did not see.
It's in the back. It's near the back of the paper.
Well, actually, I read it online,
I do too.
I don't know about
it's
that.
In the back, yeah.
Al Bergstein, one last word from you until I say goodnight and thank
sure.
you.
Oh. Well, thank you for having me on. And, you know, we have a very complex relationship with the tribes in this country. You know, it's a historical one that's very complex. We still have people that are on the non-tribe side that are concerned about things like the hunting of whales that are being done, that, you know, Nia Bay and so forth. It's a complex relationship, and I understand why. I am certainly not anti-tribe. I've worked with the tribes on many situations, and this is just one of those situations where I find myself saying, whoa, you know, it's a big deal. It's not just a small issue. It's a big deal. So keep going on this, people, and you know, talk to the Audubon societies. I mean, there's other people out there. I'm not leading this thing. I'm simply reporting about it on my blog, and I thought I would write an article in the Leader to just sort of get the attention of people out there about what's actually happening.
One might even consider contacting the tribe and asking for a workshop, a presentation, something, and to know better what their thinking is.
You know, more is better. As like I say, you know, open communications and things like that are great ideas. I would love to see some people actually stand up and take some leadership on this issue of sort of questioning the whole thing rather than just sort of going along with it for whatever reason.
I think you mean by elected officials, because you're doing that already.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean actually people that would be more like a more leadership like we once had with Zella and Eleanor Stops, who were our, you know, lions. As Eleanor Stops was awarded by the county the citizen of the century, by the county. So she was a massive leader in her time, and I'm very sorry she's not here to deal with this in a way I'm sure she would be willing to do.
Al Bergstein, I appreciate your coming in. You know, we more or less agree on some things and more or less disagree about others, but one thing we can agree on,
mm-hmm.
your 15 minutes stretched to about 30.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I couldn't help myself.
Thanks,
Are
Phil.
You still mad at me?
Never, Phil.
Oh, rubbish. The song that we're going to play is a song by Joni Mitchell called Song to the Seabird.